My daughter Rebecca texted me before the service, and she said Judah had prayed this morning before breakfast, "Lord, help Papa to preach the word." I think I'm ready to preach the word this morning with the song service we've had. Wow, praise the Lord. You ever felt like a stranger in a foreign land? I felt that most, I think, when I've gone to India. My skin color is different than those folks that are there in that land. My language is different. My dress is different. In fact, Cindy and I have been to some places there in India so deep into the interior of that country that they had never seen a white man before. And EK, our friend and Indian preacher, said that they viewed us as angels. I think they especially viewed me as an angel. I tried to remind Cindy of that after we got home. She didn't go for that very well. Last week, we started a series of sermons from 1 Peter, and the theme for this book is strangers. Strangers living as exiles in a world that is not our home. And that should be true for all of us who are Christians. This world is not our home. Now, we may have our citizenship here in the USA, but our true citizenship is up there in heaven. That is our homeland. And though we are here for a while, we long to be with Him, our Savior. And until we get to that eternal homeland, we live here with our roots not so deep. We're foreigners here. Our values are different than the values of those around us. And if they're not, they should be. Our morals are different. The words that come out of our mouth are different. How we spend our money is different. Sometimes how we dress is different. Places we go, things we do, we are not to fit into the mold of this world. Rather, we are to fit into the mold of Jesus. We have been chosen by God to obey Jesus, according to verses 1 and 2. And we have been given the Holy Spirit to help us grow into His likeness. Let me read to you this morning verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We could spend a whole sermon time on that one verse. Isn't it interesting that Peter begins his writing by giving praise to God? And that really is a good place to start. He is worthy of our praise. And I would encourage you to be a person who habitually gives praise to God. If you will do that, you will indeed be a stranger in this world. And it will change your life. If you spend time giving praise to God, it will change you. I remember when I first became acquainted with praise towards God, it propelled me in my spiritual life. And it was so fulfilling. I took some time to go through the book of Psalms. And as I read through that book over a period of weeks, I had a pen and paper in hand. And every time that I saw in that book a different characteristic of God, I wrote it down on a piece of paper. And by the time I finished Psalms, I had page after page after page of the different characteristics of God. He truly is worthy of our praise and adoration. And Peter highlights in this verse that we've just read the mercy of God. In fact, he refers to God's mercy as great mercy. The word mercy has to do with God's compassion towards us, His tender loving care towards us. You understand, we deserve hell because of our sin. But God, in His rich mercy, has given us the chance for heaven if we will put our trust in Him. As we've talked about in weeks past, it's not that God closes His eyes to our sin problem and pretends that that problem doesn't exist. You've seen that happen with parents before, haven't you, with their children? Maybe they've seen their child rebelling or just acting up in the home, and instead of giving attention to that problem, they kind of turn their head. They act as though it's really not happening. We've seen that with parents, and you've seen that with Sergeant Schultz on Hogan's Heroes. You remember the line that he's most famous for? Watch the video.
To the bathroom. Oh, I see nothing. I was not here. I did not even get up this morning.
Do you hear his first line? He says, I see nothing. I see nothing. That's not God. God can't do that with our sin problem. You know why? Because He's holy. And we all have this sin problem, and God cannot turn His head to that. He can't put His head in the sand. He cannot pretend that our sin problem doesn't exist. God is holy. He has to deal with our sin problem. But that's where His mercy comes in. Because Jesus stepped in and became our substitute. He stepped in and said, God, I'll take the wrath. I'll take the punishment for John Mark. I'll take the punishment for Lorene. I'll take the punishment for Cindy and for every one of us. God was merciful to us, and Jesus stepped in. He took the wrath that we deserved. That's the rich mercy of God. And He dealt with His Son. He poured out His wrath upon His Son instead of us. The Apostle Paul said it this way, 2 Corinthians 8:9, though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich. As we accept what Jesus did for us, Peter references this as our new birth. And this is how the NIV translates verse 3. Praise be to the Lord, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope. Now, most of us don't have a problem remembering our birthday. Do we? We know when our birthday is, although as we get older, we kind of want to forget our birthday. Do you remember your spiritual birth date? The day you were born again? I remember mine, though it was a long time ago, March 16th, 1969. I did a little reminiscing this week. In fact, before I stepped up here, I asked Cindy, have I ever showed you this Bible? And she said, no. And I showed her the inside cover of it. March 16th, 1969, I was baptized into Jesus Christ, and this Bible was given to me. And I was looking at it this week. It has my name in it. It has by O'Fallon Christian Church. That was my home church. O'Fallon, Missouri. It has the date, March 16th, 1969. Apparently, that evening, after I got this Bible, I went around and I had some different folks that were there give me their signature. And there may be a few names in here that you might recognize, some of you, if you've been around the Christian church a while. Anybody remember the name Dwayne Good? Or Dwight Good? Maybe you would recognize them as the Good Twins. They were there that evening. Joe Garman was preaching that evening. Any of you, that is that a name that you're familiar with? Some of you are familiar with that name. Joe Garman was working for Revival Fires, a fella named Cecil Todd. Is that a name that some of you would recognize? Cecil Todd, interestingly, preached here at Reinhardt years ago. Just thinking back to that day that I was born again. And there was one other name in here too. My preacher, my home preacher's name, Harry Pitts. Isn't that a great name to give to your kid? Harry Pitts. His name's in here. But you know what? This is a King James version. That's about all we had back then. Whether it's out of this version, whether it's out of the New American Standard version, maybe you have the NIV, whatever version you're reading from, it says the same thing. That we have been born again to a living hope. I want you to think about that. My new birth, your new birth, gives to you a living hope. And here we are 50 years later. I am 50 years later from that night that I gave my life to Jesus, and I still have a living hope. And so do you if you have Jesus as your Savior. And I think all of us would agree, we need hope, don't we? Every single one of us need hope. Contrast that with what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, where he says that the person who is in this world living outside of Jesus, that person has no hope. Let that sink in for a moment. The person who does not have Jesus as Savior has no hope. Zero hope. I was thinking about what people chase after. Lots of people chase after money. And it is true, money can buy a lot of nice things, but there's one thing money can't buy. Money cannot buy hope. People chase after the party life, and I'm sure the party life is fun for a while. It's able to give to us a temporary buzz. The scripture even references that. It says sin is pleasurable for a season, but every season comes to an end, and we then discover that the party life can't give us hope for tomorrow. In fact, sometimes it leaves us in a world of hurt and disappointment and despair. This world can be a pretty tough place to live in, especially as troubles track us down. And troubles do have a way of tracking us down. They come in waves. And there is only one place that we can find hope, and that is in Jesus. He's greater than any trouble we face. He's stronger. He's steadfast. He is secure when our world around us comes crashing down. And Peter says even death could not hold him down. And that's why Peter connects our hope with our resurrection here in verse 3. The resurrection is the foundation that we stand on. It's the anchor that we hold on to. Please hear what God has to say to us in His Word. If we have experienced the new birth in Jesus, we have a living hope that will get us through any and every circumstance. And I hope that you believe that and are experiencing that. I had no idea what Tim was choosing for singing this morning. Have you noticed how the songs that we have sung today are talking about a living hope in Jesus? I in fact looked this. I was thinking, what song talks about living hope? I looked it up on the internet, and this is the chorus. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. I didn't know we were singing that song today. That's the Holy Spirit working in Tim. The Holy Spirit is working through me on Wednesday when I was preparing this, and He was bringing all of this together for us on a Sunday morning because we want to give praise to Him because He is our living hope. Give God praise for that. And so I trust that you, all of you, have been born again. I hope you have been born again. If you have not, we can help you with that. Jesus said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's John chapter 3, verse 3. And then in verse 5, he gave us more insight into that. He said, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I trust that you have this new birth that has already happened in you. And if not, let us help you with that so that you can have a living hope. Let me give to you the second point. Our new birth gives us an inheritance that is imperishable. Verses 3 through 5 of this first chapter of 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. According to this passage, we have been given an inheritance that is imperishable. He's talking about heaven. The NIV says an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade. When my dad passed away over 5 years ago, it would have been 5 years this last July, I received some things from him as an inheritance. And one of those things, I've got a picture of it, is this trailer. And some of you were riding on this trailer this last week as a hayride. And this came from my dad to me. But if you notice, it's looking a little rough, isn't it? It's got some rust on it. In fact, this tire, we had to put air in it I don't know how many times this last week before you could ride it. And in fact, all four tires need replaced on it. And as I pulled it over here, I noticed the lights weren't working on it. And there's just several things with my inheritance here that's fading. It's rusting. It's corruptible. And isn't that true with our inheritance, with whatever we might have to our name in this world? It's fading away. It's rusting. We had a van, a venture van, that we've had for 15 years, and it was a really good van for us, but it kind of got to the end of its rope, or to the end of its life, and it had some rust on it, and here recently it left us stranded in St. Louis, and we thought, oh, it's time to get rid of this van. It was perishing. It was fading. Had a motorcycle. It was down all summer long in the shop. It was broke. You say, Kevin, you sound like you got a lot of junk. That's what our stuff becomes if we hang on to it long enough. It just becomes junk. It fades away. It perishes. I am so thankful. According to Peter's words here, we have an inheritance that is imperishable. Hallelujah. And so let me ask you, why would we be more attached to our earthly inheritance than to our heavenly inheritance? That doesn't make sense. Whatever we have here on this earth, it's susceptible to rust or to fire, to the elements, the stock market. It can crash. The things that we value can be stolen away. They can lose their value. A few years ago, some of the members in our family were really into buying silver. And I sat back and watched and listened, and I thought, hey, that sounds like a pretty good deal. That's a good investment. I'll buy some silver. And we didn't have much money, but I took a pretty good chunk of change out of our savings that had been put there for retirement someday, and I bought some silver. We bought some silver because I want you to know she was in on this too. It's her fault. We bought silver at $39 an ounce. And if you look on your phone, even right now, you'll see that was a bad, bad decision. And I looked on my phone this last week, and I got even more depressed because I see from the history of silver, we bought it right when it was at towards its peak price. And Wednesday, when I was working on this sermon, $17.61 an ounce. My inheritance is perishing. But you know what? It's no big deal. Because I've got an inheritance that is imperishable. Amen. And we, each of us, can have that inheritance if we've been born again. That's what Peter says. If we have this new birth, we have a hope that is alive, and we have an inheritance that is imperishable, and no one can take that inheritance away from us. And here's the third point from 1 Peter. Our new birth gives us power to endure through hardship. Verses 6 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. You know what Peter's saying in here? He's saying that this new birth has given us power to endure through hardship. And these Christians that Peter was writing to were experiencing a lot of trials. Luke, last Sunday, my son-in-law, as he preached to you, he referenced that. And the fact that these trials for many of these Christians were due to their faith in Jesus. They were being persecuted because of their faith. And so Peter's writing to them, and he's reminding them to keep a heavenly perspective here. He says, listen, these trials that you are now facing, they are for just a little while. And know that he will give to you the strength that you need to endure, and the end result will be praise and glory and honor to Jesus and joy inexpressible for you. You have to think about that for a while, because it takes some faith to accept that. You say, joy inexpressible? How can I have that when right now my heart is aching so badly and my trials are almost more than what I can bear? And I've thought about that this week. Maybe that joy inexpressible is what we will experience when he personally hands to us our eternal inheritance. When we get up there And we see him face to face, and he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." That's joy inexpressible. And at that point, we will realize that all of this stuff back here behind us that we have gone through, all of the burden, all of the trials, it's behind us. It's gone. And now we have joy inexpressible. But until we get there, let's, through the Holy Spirit, try to be facing those trials with His help, with His endurance, in such a way that joy and or that honor and glory and praise go to Him. And that's all only possible through the Holy Spirit in us. He helps us to endure. He helps us to hold on to our faith, even amidst the fire. And so in closing, I ask you again this question: have you been born again? Hope so. If not, for you, it's your chance to obtain a living hope, an inheritance that is imperishable, and power to help you endure through hardship here. Let's pray together.